Good evening, everyone. This is the meeting of the Pacifica National Board Finance Committee for February 24th, 2015. My name is Brian Edwards Tiekert. I am the outgoing chair of the committee. We'll be electing new officers at this meeting as we've just fully installed our 2015 membership. If I could ask our secretary, R. Paul Martin, to please call the roll.
Okay. Lydia Brazon.
Here.
Adriana Kasanov.
Here.
Bill Crozier?
Here.
Brian Edwards Tiekert?
Here.
Marcus Jetter? R. Paul Martin here. Tony Norman?
Here.
Michael Novick? Serene Roberts?
Present.
Raul Salvador?
I'm here.
Barbara Whipperman?
Here.
Okay, that's nine. That's quorum.
Thank you, Paul. We're on to agenda approval. I sent out a draft agenda just before the meeting started. I'll read it for the benefit of anyone who hasn't had access to their email. The remaining items would be election of officers for 10 minutes, first secretary, then chair, then minutes approval, if any, for 5 minutes, then a 30-minute report from the CFO, then a KPFT discussion for 20 minutes, and then new business for 10 minutes, which would include our 2015 meeting schedule. Do I have any motion to adopt that agenda?
So moved.
Adriana here?
I've got a motion from Barbara, and if people want to propose amendments, I'll take a stack.
Bill.
So I heard Adriana first, and then Bill. Go ahead, Adriana.
I sent earlier to our group a motion that I want to add to the agenda. I think that everybody received it, Ian. Can you hear me?
Yes, I'm looking. Okay. I don't see... Please do.
Okay.
And can you tell us when you sent it?
I sent it at 12:05 p.m.
Oh, okay. Got it.
I want to add to the agenda a motion to create a work group to look into the healthcare policies that are in place at every unit of the foundation. The objective of the work group will be to compare the benefits and costs in order to see if we can come up with a way to save money to the employees and to Pacifica. That is my motion.
Okay. You want to put that under new business?
Yes.
Okay. We'll take that as a motion to amend the agenda from Adriana to place the motion she just read under new business. Is there any objection to that? Hearing none, it is now part of the draft agenda. Bill, you're next.
Okay, thanks. Sorry, I had to unmute. Well, I had asked Dwayne if he could join us near the beginning of the meeting because I thought he was going to be, I'll be talking about the KPFT transmitter here shortly because it was sort of left over from the last meeting. So he'll probably be calling in any minute now. So I'd like to suggest that we move that up at least before the CFO reports and maybe before election of officers, if that's okay. Can anybody hear me?
Sorry, I was muted.
Oh, okay.
Why don't we give him a fixed time he can work around? How about 6 Pacific, 9 Eastern? That would be 16 minutes from now.
Okay.
Do you want to make a motion to set a time certain for the Houston item?
Okay, yeah, I move that we have a time certain for the KPFT transmitter issue at 9 Eastern time.
Okay, great. Is there any objection to that? Hearing none, that's now part of the draft agenda. Any further amendments? Hearing none, is there any objection to the agenda as amended? Hearing none, we are now on to the election of officers. The first officer we elect is Secretary. I'll open the floor to nominations.
I nominate R. Paul Martin, if he's willing.
R. Paul, do you accept the nomination?
Yeah.
We have one nominee, R. Paul Martin. Are there any further nominations? Going once. Going twice. Sold to R. Paul Martin. Congratulations, and I will tell you, R. Paul, that I have heard from the National Office that thanks to your diligent efforts, the National Finance Committee presented the most complete set of minutes of any committee of the Pacifica National Board for the Attorney General's Office. I will turn the gavel over to you, R. Paul, so you can preside over election of the 2015 chair.
Okay. All right. Are there any nominations for chair of the NFC for 2015?
Adriana,
go ahead.
I want to nominate Brian.
Brian, do you accept?
I do.
Are there any other nominations for chair of the NFC for 2015? Once, twice, three times. If there are no other ones, I don't hear any, then I guess that Brian is reelected chair without objection to the line. Okay, you got chair back.
Okay, my comrade in acclamation. Next up is minutes approval. R. Paul, and I apologize, I have a mountain of email I haven't caught up on. Do we have any new minutes for approval at this meeting?
No, I have been, I came down with the flu the day after the last meeting. I am not in good shape, but I just didn't do them. They'll hit here pretty soon at some point when I get over this thing.
Laurels.
That just makes for a quicker approval of minutes. We'll move on to the CFO report. We'll be able to take about 15 minutes of this before we break for the KPFT discussion, and then we can resume the CFO report. Raul, how are things going?
Good, thank you. Good evening, everyone. I was going to send you, I just sent you a report on the progress on our current fund drives. I will discuss it later, but first just wanted to give you an audit report on the audit progress. We are still on target to complete the 2013 on March 1st, as we have indicated there previously, or if not with this group, with the PNB. With respect to the fiscal year 2014 audit, we had gathered information that the AFRs and the CPV is really due at the end of this month for our fiscal year. However, there is an initial 45-day extension that can be requested and is automatically approved regardless of the reasons for failing to meet the original deadline. So the first extension would actually allow us a deadline of April 14, 2015. And this is for the April, the fiscal year 2014 audit. If there's a need for that second extension, the company can request an additional 30 days, which the CPB will consider the request based on its merits, and that the explanation must be provided. The request may or may not be granted. So our goal is to target that April 15 deadline. We have hired our first temporary accounting professional that will help us with the completion of the audit schedules, and hopefully we can get that going quickly enough, even prior to the completion of the 2013 audit. There's going to be a big payment that's going to be associated with the issuance of these financial statements. And so we're also preparing for that. On the last meeting of the PNB, we approved the revision of the Anagnes Trust loan to WDAI, wherein the payment terms of its no interest, no collateral $156,000 loan has been postponed and won't be scheduled until after September 30, 2015. And that is, again, subject to the discussion. Then the budget, the last station was approved by PNB at the last meeting, and that completes our other stations budget. And so we are in the process of loading them up into our Great Plains as we speak, and hopefully by next week or the next meeting we will provide you with the first quarter P&L statements that would compare it to budget and actuals. On the past two, on the, just to give you an update on the pension funding from 2012 and 2013, we have gotten some information from our third-party administrators and have provided us with basically three options. One of them briefly is first and foremost, we, according to our third-party administrators in the legal department, the Pacifica Foundation was not in any violation of not funding the profit-sharing plan at this point. Our compliance issues are dealing with the union contract at this point to comply with the union contracts, and that means funding the employees' accounts, retirement accounts for those years 2012 and 2013. Hence, we are going to talk to the union about these options that they have proposed. The first option is basically the so that we can pay everybody, including employees who are no longer here at this point, and were employees of the foundation in the years 2012 and 2013 when they earned it, we can provide them with kind of a bonus structure. Everybody gets just a bonus payment. That means it's not going to be deposited in any retirement, but it's just going to make them whole. Whatever they were entitled to will be paid up out as a bonus. The second option was to amend the current 401k plan, oh, not 401k, the retirement plan. And by doing that, we will amend the amount of deposit to include the previous in arrears, amounts in arrears, into the current plan year that we are on right now, and modify the plan to say the amount of benefits will be this particular amount. But the only caveat to that is that only the current employees who were in last in years 2012 and 2013 will be given that benefit, and those terminated employees who are not here in 2012 and 2013 will not be entitled to that option. Thirdly, it's going to be a big revision in the IRS, where we have a voluntary correction procedure, and this they do not recommend this because it will probably take more than a year to before we could get a final approval from the IRS, and it may or may not be approved. So those are kind of the options, and we're planning to meet with all the unions of the four stations that currently working with a contract. That's basically the latest on that. And then, and again, I have sent out the fund drive progress report, and basically it shows two other stations have already completed them, KPFA and KPFT. WBAI and WPFW and KPFK, the three remaining stations, have extended their fund drives for another 5 days each, and they are currently at about 67% for BAI of their total fund drive goals, 78% for WPFW, and 49% of KPFK. We are projecting that with the extension, BAN and PFW will come close to their targeted goals, while KPFK is looking into developing, further extending the fund drive for a couple more days. The KPFK had some technical issues with the phone, and maybe Michael can discuss this later. But that's the latest on the progress report, and that is my report.
Okay, we got about 5 minutes for questions before we shift gears to KPFT. I'll take a stack. You can take yourself off mute to get on the stack.
Bill, but I don't have to go first.
I've got Bill. Who else? Well, Bill, looks like you may have no choice but to go first. Go ahead.
Okay, thanks.
Hello?
Yeah, I've got you, Michael.
Okay. Yeah, thank you.
I've got Bill, then Michael.
And about the pension funding.
Bill.
So let me just make clear. The 403B is fully funded. Is that right? We're caught up on everything for that?
Yes, the 403B is funded every payday.
Right, okay. And so the one that's still behind is the one, the so-called profit-sharing plan.
Correct.
And so, but, I mean, it's not just the unions that are concerned about it. I mean, all the employees have had an issue with that, right?
Well, yes. Our issue right now is complying with the union, but we are prepared to have whatever we make decide on this. It will affect all employees, union and non-union.
Okay, and so you'll hopefully that will be resolved soon, and you'll let all employees know what the result is, so they'll know when do we expect
again,
to be funded.
Yeah.
Including past employees, you said that one of the options wouldn't work.
Again, that will be approved by the union.
Okay, thank you.
Indiana for the stack. I don't know how to, but yeah.
And then, I'll go on to the next person. I've got some other questions, but I can ask those later.
And okay. Answering, please.
Okay, I have Michael, then Adriana, Serena, and I think I have Lydia talking to someone else in the background. Please mute yourself. Michael, you're next.
Okay, I have a question. You said, Raul, that the budgets were being loaded into Great Plains. So my understanding for KPFK is that what the PNB approved was with the proviso that $250,000 be cut from the budget. And has that been taken into account in what's being loaded into the Great Plains software, or has management proposed any specific cuts yet?
No. What we are loading into the budget is the one that the NFC approved with the proviso that it will be cut. We will revisit the budget and reflect the corrections as we look into the results, the actual results of the first quarter. I'm not sure if we can change the budget into the Great Plains, but the approval was based on the original budget with a proviso that basically the management will look into cutting the cost.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, to clarify, Michael, the language didn't call for the budget to be altered. It called for KPFK to spend $250,000
right.
less than budgeted.
Yeah, okay.
Next is Adriana. Adriana, take yourself off mute.
Yes, hi. Can you hear me?
Now we can.
Okay. Raul, these numbers that you gave us about the fund drives, we are talking only about pledges, right?
That's
we are
correct.
Not talking about fulfillment.
No, no.
Okay. Yeah, that was my my worry. Thank you.
Serena's next.
Okay, so thanks. I know that we have AFTRA in New York and I think D.C. And is it CWA in Berkeley?
Correct.
Yes.
Who's in L.A.?
I believe, is it SAG-AFTRA also in L.A.?
SAG-AFTRA, yeah.
Yes.
Okay, thanks.
Anybody else to stack on questions for the CFO?
Well, I have a comment on the fund drives.
Go ahead, Michael.
PPFK seems to be doing the worst. There was some issue with the phones. I think they switched the call service, and then they decided that because of the weather, because the call service is back east, to switch it again to the call service taking hold of flow. We've been working with call-ins, you know, in the phone room here, and they had some problems with the telephone system, not the ones that would be used for the call-ins, but it had an impact on it. But I don't think that's the main problem. I think the main problem is that as the number of days continue to climb that we're doing on air fund drives, the amount of money that comes in per day is dropping. So the average per day goal was about 26,000 something, which is much lower than, you know, goals even a year or a year and a half ago, which are up in the $40,000 range. And the reality of what's coming in is about 19,000 a day average. And so I think that extending the fund drives is not, you know, I think we've hit the wall of diminishing returns pretty heavily here. I was
okay.
In there today taking calls, and I can tell you there were very few calls.
All right. The time has arrived for the KPFT report. Is Dwayne Bradley on the call?
Yes.
Hey, Dwayne. Good
Hi
to
there.
Hear your voice. I was actually absent for the bulk of our discussion of the KPFT transmitter, so I don't know where you all want to pick it up. Should we take a report from Wayne before the committee gets into discussion?
There was an email from Bill you might want to open.
Bill did forward everyone on the committee
a report
that was prepared mainly by our chief engineer, Steve Brightwell.
Great. I'll pull that up. Dwayne, why don't you recap for everyone who doesn't have that email in front of them?
Okay. KPFT, as you may have heard, has been operating under a special temporary authority from the FCC for the better part of 3 years now. And these are six-month incremental installments that we have to go to Washington and request through John Krigler. We're operating at approximately half to one-third of our legally licensed power, which is 100,000 watts. We struggled to get to that 100,000 watts about 8 years ago. And the details of that whole process are outlined in the body of the history and details of what's in this email that you should all have called Why Pacifica Should Help KPFT Get a New Transmitter. But just to kind of summarize, we've been operating at reduced power because the new transmitter we purchased back in 2007 is inadequate to actually let us achieve this power level of 100,000 watts, and we are fairly confident we never will achieve that wattage with this unit. We have been unable to manifest an effective capital campaign, though we've had a capital campaign, theoretically at least, on the books for about 15 months now. In part, we've been hamstrung by Pacifica as a whole in its perception coast to coast as being troubled. I'll use that term, I suppose. We've approached major donors. We've gone to loan organizations, including a group, interestingly, out in San Juan Capistrano called Pacifica Capital. No relation. They had helped, I believe, KPFK in their upgrade to their current status. But we've reached a roadblock with them and other organizations we've gone to, including Public Radio Capital, because of our inability to produce a 2013 audit. And until we can do that, we can't really move that ball down the road. So we've been hamstrung in our ability to effectively solve this problem here in Houston. The transmitter we currently have is, in engineering terms, old, and it's unreliable. We can't push it much beyond what we're operating at currently. Operating at the reduced power while it is still a higher output than we had been operating from the late 90s until the mid-2000s is still less than optimal. By not operating at our fully licensed power, we do run the risk of an interested party filing a complaint with the FTC, and then when we go back for, you know, another special temporary authority, we could find ourselves challenged, and it's theoretically at least possible that the FCC could say, well, you've proven yourself ineffective at operating at this full power, we're going to permanently reduce you to 50. And so that's kind of the situation we find ourselves in. The solution, as Don Mussel, Pacifica's consulting engineer, and our chief operator here in Houston, Steve Brightwell, both outlined, is to replace this tube-based transmitter, this Armstrong unit, with a Nautel solid-state unit that would remedy the situation in short order. It's a little bit under $200,000 as a package, and were it possible for us to manifest this here locally immediately, we'd certainly not be bothering y'all tonight and being on your agenda. So we can certainly, and have, at least budgetarily, we have with an Amy Goodman meet and greet and a couple of other things we've put aside, at least in our paper budget, funds that are earmarked toward that. In reality, cash flow situations and all of the other, you know, real politics of Pacifica have caused us to drain what at one point was $52,000 in sequestered funds for this transmitter project, which is, you know, just under, just over a quarter of what we really need to do this, down to about $13,000. So we're in a bit of a bind. There's certainly a precedent. A precedent was set back in my first year on this job back in 2002 when we did a Save Our Signal campaign for KPFK to allow them to not lose their authorization for a full-powered station on Mount Wilson. So it's not like we haven't done this for our sister stations in the past, and so I think that's why I find myself on this call with y'all tonight, is to talk about that a little bit.
I'll take a stack for questions. Remember, you can take yourself off mute. Okay, I've got Michael. I got you, Michael. Who else?
Barbara.
Got Michael and Barbara. Who else?
And Tony.
Michael, Barbara, and Tony. Who else? I'll add myself to the stack. Michael, go ahead.
So I think at the full power here, they have to get two Nortel units. Is that what you need, or just one? One question. Is the proposal for a kind of dedicated on-air fund drive at all five stations?
What I've been informed is that this was to be possibly a cross-the-country network-wide one-day kind of an event. And what we're looking at is the need for one 30-kilowatt transmitter unit, not two.
Barbara, you're next.
I just wanted to clarify. I think I heard you say that was about 200,000, and the sheet that was emailed with your memo is something less than that. I just wanted to clarify what it really is.
Okay. Sure. I was rounding up. You know, it's more than 150. I rounded it up to 200. It's roughly 160 in the actual transmitter box itself, but the extra work to modify the engineering space and at our transmitter site and some of the labor involved and all that is probably another 20,000. So it's close to being exact at $180,000.
Okay.
Tony, you're next.
Yes, just a couple of questions. I wasn't clear. Has the local station, how much do they have to raise on that, or is there do they have something put aside on that, or how much they intend to raise a certain percentage of that? And also, in terms, I think it was roughly 200,000. I'm just looking through it, but yeah, that's my first question. Has the local station raised anything toward that or intend to raise a percentage of that?
Yes, we've had several events over the last couple of years that, in part or in total, had as an aspect of them putting money aside for this transmitter replacement project. We've known that we've wanted to do this for the better part of 3 years. So locally, as I said, on paper, we say we have 52,000. In reality, we have 13, because monies have been drained from that to just keep things balanced here in Houston. There are a number of different angles that are being explored that would allow us to add to that. There are other events that are being planned that would allow us to add to that. There's a capital campaign that has struggled to launch itself locally that would also add to that. We're certainly not asking for the rest of the four stations in the network to gift KPFT a brand new transmitter. We would certainly pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps to the extent we can.
And one other quick question, the timetable. What's your timetable in terms of raising it and actually acquiring it and having it operational?
Well, our chief operator and the equipment providers, the transmitter company, they need, you know, 6 to 8 weeks to manifest the equipment and get it operational after we're able to give them at least a down payment. It's our hope that through one way or another, that by the time the current special temporary authority in D.C. expires, which is now at some point in the third week or so of May, that by that time we'll be in a position to not have to ask for a seventh special temporary authority. So it's not unprecedented that stations do, and, you know, John Krigler has certainly shared with me, and I'll share with you that, you know, there are stations that have gone, you know, 7, 8, or even 10 years under special temporary authority, and the circumstances under which someone can challenge your request for an extension are somewhat limited to, you know, interested parties that have reason or cause to object to your extension request, at which point we would have to defend that extension request. And to date, we've had none.
Bill for the stack, too.
And Serene, please.
I've got Indiana. Bill, Serene, and Adriana for the stack. Is anyone else wish to be on? Okay. We've reached where I put myself on the stack, but I think all my questions got asked so far. Go ahead, Bill.
Okay, thanks. Not so much of a question. I'm just going to remind everybody of what I sent out that from Dwayne and Steve. The one of the problems that we're sort of in a catch-22 situation, and I know the similar thing happened with WPFW and also KPFK a few years ago when you were operating at lower power. We need more money to buy a new transmitter, but operating at low power makes it harder to raise the money because people aren't as likely to donate when they can't hear us well or at all. And so we have, you know, we don't have mountains in the way, but Houston's really spread out. You know, our transmitter is about 12 to 14 miles northwest of downtown as the crow flies, and we have people spread out over a huge area. And a lot of the people in South and East Houston, for example, just have trouble hearing it. And they're not as likely to donate when the signal's weak. So I look at this sort of as an investment that if we can get some help from the other stations, just as KPFT has helped some of our sisters and brother stations in the past, it would help us be able to start raising more money again. And the other aspect of this is if, I know that the lack of CPB funding has hurt all the stations, but frankly, if we had the CPB funding that we were expecting for the last 2 years, we probably have almost enough money by now because we've had to shift money around to cover the shortfall from that, especially for last year when we were planning to get full CPB funding. So I hope that those of you who have benefited from KPFT's help in the past will remember us this time because we could use your help. And hopefully after we get a new transfer going, that'll help bring in more money and that'll be good for all of us.
Thank you, Bill. I've got Serene next.
Thanks. Do you guys have a mortgage on the building?
No.
Okay. And without divulging anything that might be considered confidential, what do you know of any interested parties who might be raise such a challenge as you discussed?
I'm aware of the potential interested parties, and I'm also aware of no reason for challenges to be raised at this moment.
Okay. And you'd be able to give us more in closed session on that?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
And Adriana.
Yes. Well, you say, Dwayne, that We have at some point in time, I think that you told us that we have some special contract to have a capital campaign for our transmitter. Was ever any money raised on that capital campaign? The one, the specific one that we have a contract for. I'm not talking about the money that Amy Goodman did. I'm talking about that specific contract.
No, because the capital campaign as spoken to in that contract has not officially ever begun. It's still in its preliminary phase.
For any particular reason?
Well, several particular reasons. One major one being that preliminary contact with a number of the major donors identified as potential contributors to the capital campaign have expressed concern based on Pacifica's national status currently. And that has, I think, hamstrung our ability to launch this. And also, the person whom we were contracting with, being also involved in the on-again, off-again, on-again, off-again, and I think even on-again, off-again, Pacifica National Executive Director searches, has limited the effectiveness of even starting that.
Okay. You say, too, that in paper we had $50,000 for the transmitter, but in reality only $13,000. All that money that was raised was never put in a restricted account? Was in a station account? Was a restricted account? Never happened?
Yes, those funds were, for a period of time, kept in a restricted account that was not accessible by the national office. And out of necessity, there have been two, I believe, transfers of funds out of that just into general operating accounts over the last several years.
I'm sorry, but I'm confused. It means that the national office or other stations owe us almost $37,000, so that money came back but never came back to that account?
No. We of necessity have transferred those funds locally from a restricted account that the national office could not tap into remotely into local accounts that we have used. And yes, we have on more than a few occasions either pre-transferred or loaned funds to the national office, to other stations, to cover expenses from payroll to health care coverage to billbacks of various sorts.
Yeah, I understand that. My question is, we ever receive it back, or they still owing that money to us, to KPFT? This was done on more than one occasion, but is a credit that we have, or is in our KPFT, but went to different to pay for different things? Because this is kind of, I don't understand. I always hear that because we owe money, we don't have it for us. But that's why I want to know if we have a credit for that amount, or that was turning back to us and we use it for different purposes.
Well, I can't really tell you for certain, Adriana, about like intercompany transfers, credits, and debits and things. I know that over the years there have been, you know, probably uncountable, sadly, transfers and loans from one station or another to the national office or to another station or to cover another station or to front another station and how well that's been accounted for and repaid or not repaid is probably the source of, you know, a really interesting novel.
Well, I think that probably we need to talk to Raul about the issue, because if we have, we should have some credit, or maybe we are, or that is being used instead of sending the money that we need to send to pay the...
Maybe for the staff.
I'm sorry, the last question is, if you are supporting, we are asking the Pacifica stations to make a campaign to get that money to have our transmitter. Do you think that could be in a restricted account that will be only used for that purpose?
Apologies, this is Brian. I accidentally knocked myself off the call. Adriana, were you done?
Well, let me just answer her last question, Brian. And
sure.
The answer being, yes, Adriana, anything that was externally raised and earmarked specifically to help KPFC in a transmitter acquisition would be very much sequestered in a restricted account for that singular purpose.
Thank you.
I have Barbara next. Go ahead, Barbara.
Just one little memory from a few years back when KPFT did loan KPFA a part of their payroll. We did pay it back. So I don't know what has happened with other instances, but I can tell you one of them was repaid.
Okay. Folks, let me suggest that Raul and his team are working diligently on cleaning up Great Plains so that we'll have accurate balance sheets that show within the network who owes what to who. But none of that will conjure dollars into existence. So the question confronting us is what we do about a situation at KPFT, which I think Bill articulated. It is a problem that's preventing us from raising money. And the longer we don't deal with it, the more money we have lost that could be coming in through fund drives at KPFT. So I've heard a proposal for a joint day of fundraising, and I've gone over the numbers that Raul sent out from the winter fund drives, and it looks like if a joint day of fundraising were to perform as well as all the stations do when they're talking to their own listeners about their stations, we're looking at something in the ballpark of $95,000, which is barely half of the build-out cost. So I guess the question is what else we can put into the mix. Dwayne, have you ever explored securing a loan against your building in Houston? What kind of rates you could get from a local bank?
We have entertained that, and I don't have any numbers to share with you, but I was cautioned to not go too far down that road. I do know what the value of the dirt upon which KPFT sits is worth in the current market in Houston, and it's orders of magnitude more than would be necessary to help KPFT achieve what it needs. One of my fears I'll share with you is simply that in that knowledge, were we to leverage KPFT's property for funding for this, I'd be afraid of taking more than we really needed to handle more than just the immediate situation we have, to deal with other situations as well, and then find KPFT left in the lurch and suddenly having to broadcast from a hotel room somewhere in downtown.
yeah, that would not be good.
Yeah.
I guess my concern is we can launch a fundraising initiative, but if we don't get all the way to the top of the goal, you know, if we don't have enough money to pay for buying the equipment, then the fundraising we've done that far doesn't do us any good. The money sits around in a restricted account until it gets tapped for something else. So the question would be kind of, what's the safety net under our fundraising initiative? You know, what can we tap to top off to get the thing built so that KPFT's fund drives can perk up and so to do it quickly?
Well, I mean, I would be more than open to working with the national office to leverage the deed to the Lovett Boulevard property in a way so as to help KPFT get to this place, which, you know, in some scenarios could easily more than alleviate the necessity of any national on-air days. I mean, I'm kind of loath to do more on-air days, whether it be for KPFT, whether it be for the Pacifica Radio Archives, or whether it be for any of the other stations. And just knowing from, you know, my reality and the reality that I hear on our weekly conference calls with the management team, how tough everyone's lives are these days. And I'm certain you all feel that too.
I do as a programmer, but I also think that what we're talking about, like a new transmitter that's going to let our only red state station reach more people, is something that's very easy to ask for on the air. It's something that's very easy to make sense of to our listeners. And I say this as someone who fundraises a lot on the air, that it's probably not comparable to asking for help for WBAI after Superstorm Sandy, because that was part of a national media phenomenon, coverage of the storm, but that it is something that we can make sense of as being outside of ordinary fundraising and of tremendous importance to the stability of the network. I mean, personally, I don't speak for the committee, I don't speak for the board, I think it's worth a shot. My other question would kind of be, what off-air fundraising capacity do you have? In other words, do you have a collection of donors who could get to put up a large matching fund or challenge fund for one day of fundraising to put some wind in the sails?
Barbara with a comment.
And Serene for the staff.
Okay. I'm certain that we can line some up, Brian.
Do you have, like, any kind of capital campaign committee that's been working on the money you already raised? Like a steering committee on the campaign?
Not particularly, no. We have a development committee of the LSB, but this is really not even very, very much within their wheelhouse.
Okay. I've got Barbara, then Serene, then Adriana. Go ahead, Barbara.
I just want to agree with what Brian said and say I think that it's an opportunity to bring to the attention of listeners a station that's in the network that we don't, you know, we're not acknowledging or talking about a lot. In California, of course, people are aware there are two stations, and we're aware of Amy Goodman, if not WBAI, so that means New York. And I think that I like the idea of educating people about how important this network is. And I think a clear picture of one of the stations and a big problem like this would certainly help that.
I appreciate that, Barbara.
Serene?
Okay, thanks. I'm sorry I'm not online, so I haven't seen the report that's being discussed from Breitbart. But my question is, the folks from whom you'd be getting the transmitter, are they willing to accept a sizable down payment and then allow for monthly payments? That's one. Two, what dates are being considered for this fund drive? And three, what are the other capital needs of KPFT that if in fact there is going to be some sort of, you know, some loan against the property for the purpose of addressing KPFT's needs. Someone needs to mute, please.
Hold on a second, Serene. If you are not Serene Roberts, please mute your phone right now. Everybody, go ahead, Serene.
Okay, thanks. What are the other needs that might be rolled into this? I think I had three questions. Did I ask you all three?
Yes.
Great. Okay. Thanks.
In terms of the payment plan with the transmitter, the equipment providers, they're certainly willing to build this unit and deliver it to us with a 50% down payment, and they're willing to negotiate a certain amount of leeway on that other half, but not, not a very lengthy term beyond due upon installation kind of a thing. In terms of dates for this, I honestly, would be throwing darts at a board to give you dates. I just know that we're looking at having to roll our, what's usually like Mother's Day to Memorial Day spring drive to probably the last week of April through mid-May to make up for the shortfalls of the previous two campaigns down here. So I don't know where a perfect day could be had. I do know that there are some significant dates that could possibly be put out there that might have a resonance with, listeners, not just locally, but across the country. March 1st, of course, is the day KPFT began operations back in 1970. So we're, literally days away from our 45th anniversary. There's, I believe it is the 12th or 13th of May was the, I think it's the 12th of May in 1970, so just a few months down the road, 45 years away from the first explosion when we were bombed off the air the first time, and I believe October 6th is the date where we'll be celebrating the 45th anniversary of our second bombing by the Klan. So, there's also April 15th, which, is better celebrated as the birth of Pacifica than the day we have to send a check to Washington. And I'm sure there are many others we could look at as significant dates that we could, perhaps celebrate this Third Coast station of Pacifica. And then the third question, in terms of other needs, well, you've been here, Serene. You see what we're doing with what we have. And while we have a beautiful piece of property, we're operating a full-powered station in the fourth largest city in the United States in a 100-year-old house where many of the staff members are working in subdivided bedrooms, and the on-air studio is in converted front porch. And as homey and as welcoming and as that has been to all the visitors to Houston over the years, and I like it as well, I know how ineffective it is to optimal utilization or dissemination of mission-based programming to the community. So there's, we have great needs. But, unless we're going to be bequeathed enough money to build a new facility, which would be $1.5 million to $2.5 million, which I wish we were able to do, I know there are needs, but, the immediate need is to replace the transmitter, compel the FCC to move the piece of paper across the table that will allow us to finalize the license renewal process that went into limbo on the 1st of August over a year and a half ago.
Bill for the stack again.
Thanks.
Okay, I've got Adriana and then Bill. Go ahead, Adriana.
Yes.
Hello?
Okay. Yes. Can you hear me?